It's easy to feel like you know a lot about some famous people, especially the ones who mine their own lives for their art. I'm Lisa Morgan, and today on The Weekly Reader, our book critic Marianne Winnick reviews two new revealing books from a pair of very familiar, funny, and influential artists. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Lisa. David Sedaris' 14th essay collection, The Land and Its People, is a standout, a welcome return to form for the much-awarded and much-loved humorist. His last two books, Calypso and Happy-Go-Lucky, were shadowed by the deaths of both his parents and his sister Tiffany, the pandemic, and revelations about sexual abuse. This new collection finds the author back to thinking about his signature material, the little weirdnesses of living, his relationship with his handsome husband Hugh, the odd things people say and do, manners bad and good, his travels and observations thereof, his quirky friendships, and his practice of walking 10,000 Apple Watch monitored steps per day, all in his signature key of delightfully petty and wonderfully peevish. He might be the only person who jokes about how much fun it is to be obscenely wealthy, as in an essay where he reveals that he has a Paul Klee, a Franz Klein, and an Alexander Calder in the office where he writes, another where he buys a $2,400 cashmere cape for his sister Gretchen during a cancer scare, planning to inherit it back after her death, and several others in which his credit card appears as a deus ex machina to slice through various predicaments. A few essays dig back into his already well-excavated childhood, including what is likely the sweetest essay he has ever written about his mother, Cool Mom. An essay recalling his teenage volunteer job in Raleigh, North Carolina mental asylum makes one wonder if his hometown might someday consider erecting what would surely be an adorable and pilgrimage-worthy monument. For my part, I say bravo, and thank you, David Sedaris, for being you. Famesick by Lena Dunham takes us behind the scenes of what is arguably the most overexposed, least understood life of the American 21st century. As she put it when she met her husband, she married in 2021, there are two essential facts of Dunham's existence. I am sick, and people don't like me. The reader of this moving, candid memoir will not be tempted to argue these points. But even if said reader starts off as a member of the disapproving masses, it's well worth getting her take on both the highs and the sadly numerous lows of her life so far. The peaks include the mostly thrilling story of how Tiny Furniture, a near-home movie made when she was 20, kicked off the groundbreaking, star-studded, award-winning six-season success of Girls, the early years of her love affair with music producer Jack Antonoff, her close, though sometimes fraught, relationship with her artist parents. The sadness list has to start with the very serious health problems that were compounded by the attitude of those around her that it might all be in her head. Many physical collapses, hospitalizations, surgeries, and a hysterectomy later, it's definitely not. And it would be more surprising if she hadn't ended up with a prescription drug addiction than that she did. It's also sad to watch the complexities of her own personality interact with the corrosive effects of fame to destroy so many of her relationships. Getting sick, she writes, is not all that different from getting more famous. It has a maddening circularity, and it's also very hard to explain, even to the people closest to you. Well, she's done a very good job of explaining it now. Inspiring empathy has never been what Dunham was about, but now it is. And she's done an amazing job.
The books are The Land and Its People by David Sedaris and Famesick by Lena Dunham. You can find more information about these titles in our podcast at WIPR.org or wherever you get your podcasts. For The Weekly Reader, I'm Lisa Morgan.
And I'm Marianne Winnick.